Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why? Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour, and today is Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. It's a palindrome, today's date. And we're grateful, as always, to everyone who's joining us here today on Mind Shifters Radio as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. I'm grateful to follow that up with announcing, as always, that these tools are available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the red and white bullseye or the link in the upper left-hand corner of most pages that says Start Here, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of that book is a narrative description of the primary tool in this work, which is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using for a lot of years now to help me improve the quality of my life, manage my emotions, use my emotions quite effectively as an alarm system, especially the negative emotions that help me understand when my thoughts are off the mark, when my perception is in error. And in doing that, consistent and persistent application of that tool, I have improved the quality of my life beyond what words can describe. So we're encouraging people to do that. If you go to that webpage and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book, you can also click and download the Reality Management Worksheet itself. It's a free PDF. Download it, print it off, use it as often as you'd like. You can also get access to a host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. They can serve as a tutorial for you to how to apply that in your life. Some of those shows are testimonials about the positive benefits. Some of those shows are a little bit deeper dive into the process that worksheet process gives us and why it works, the dynamics of how it can be so powerful, despite its being deceptively simple. And you can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And by the time you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you tap on that, you can download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet process, an abbreviated version of that process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope you do that soon and often, and then give us a call. Our call-in number here is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, it will put a little question mark by your phone number, and I can announce you by your area code. Alternatively, if you're listening on the archives, if you have a question, you can send that in to my email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. You can also email Jeannie at jeanie@whyagain.org. Today we're on the 20th day of the year, which means we're on our 20th lesson from Course in Miracles. We've decided to read and discuss these lessons throughout the week, throughout the year. Lesson 20 from Course in Miracles is rather brief. It says, I am determined to see. I am determined to see. The commentary is, we have been quite casual about our practice periods thus far. There has been virtually no attempt to direct the time for undertaking them. Minimal effort has been required, and not even active cooperation and interest have been asked. This approach has been intentional and very carefully planned. We have not lost sight of the crucial, critical importance of the reversal of your thinking. The salvation of the world depends on it. Yet, you will not see if you regard yourself as being coerced, and if you give in to some resentment and opposition. So you can't be coerced into changing your perception. You can't be bullied into perceiving accurately. This is our first attempt to introduce structure. Do not, please do not misconstrue it as an effort to exert force or pressure. You want salvation. You want to be happy, or you wouldn't be reading a book like this. You want peace. You do not have them now, or you wouldn't be reading a book like this. Because your mind is totally undisciplined, and you cannot distinguish between joy and sorrow, pleasure and pain, love and fear. You are now learning how to tell them apart. And great indeed will be your reward. Your decision to see all that vision requires. It is your decision to see all that vision requires. What you want is yours. Do not mistake the little effort that is asked of you for an indication that our goal is of little worth. Can the salvation of the world be a trivial purpose? And can the world be saved if you are not? So the world can't be saved unless you're saved. You and the world are one. The Creator has one Son, and He is the resurrection and the life. This is all a flow of energy. This is all one mind. You're now learning how to tell these things apart, and great indeed will be your reward. When you learn how to tell the difference between pleasure and pain, love and fear, joy and sorrow. The exercises for today consist in reminding yourself throughout the day that you want to see. To see what? To see the truth as it actually is. To see past the false conditioning. To see past the perceptions that our minds have created that lead us to hostility and fear and constriction and judgment. Today's idea also tacitly implies the recognition that you do not see now. Therefore, as you repeat the idea, you're stating that you are determined to change your present state for a better one, a state that you really want. So repeat today's idea slowly and positively, at least twice an hour, attempting to do so every half hour. Do not be distressed if you forget to do so, but make a real effort to remember. The extra repetition should be applied to any situations, person or event that upsets you. You can see them differently, and you will. What you desire, you will see. Such is the real law of cause and effect as it operates in the world. I am determined to see. That's the lesson for today. Within that statement is the implied acknowledgement that I do not yet see. I do not yet see clearly. I do not yet see accurately. I do not yet see wholly. What I am seeing, what I have been conditioned to believe I'm seeing, is not vision. It is the construction of images. This is from a previous lesson. So, I want to repeat today's idea slowly and positively, twice an hour, optimally every half an hour. I am determined to see. Along with reading the lessons and the commentary in the workbook, we've committed to reading from the book of Pam Grout, The Course in Miracles Experiment. Her chapter 20 is titled, When 1 plus 1 equals 3. She quotes Kim Stafford, who writes, Shall we let terror simplify the world to good and evil? Or shall we lean toward one another, recognize our need, and cherish all magnetic nudges toward inclusion? Pam writes, Lesson 20, I am determined to see, asks me to step up my game. It asks me to commit to seeing truth and to remind myself of the commitment a couple times an hour. It doesn't ask me to do 50 push-ups or love my enemies even once. It asks me to briefly remember that if I make any exceptions or leave any situation or purpose out of the equation, I'm going to experience the same old world. Rather than be against anyone or anything, it asks me to see unity, peace, love, and joy for all. It asks me to see the truth in oppressed and oppressor, in the bullied and the bully. Opposition only perpetuates the old paradigm of winners and losers, and somebody being left out of the equation. Remember the story from Lesson 12 about the Bangladeshi store clerk who decided to forgive the swastika-tattooed vigilante who shot him. What he discovered when he became, quote, determined to see, close quotes, is that his shooter had come from broken parents, broken schools, a broken prison system. He grew up knowing that if his mom had been able to scrape together just 50 more bucks, she would have aborted him. Is there any wonder he might have had a slight bit of anger and resentment? Today, I see and create a radically new vision, one where everyone wins and everyone gets a seat at the table. I think Dr. Rice quotes Emerson. I think Emerson wrote, If we could but see the silent misery and history of our enemies, it would be enough to dismantle every hostility. I am determined to see. I am determined to see the connection of all life energy. I am determined to see the beings of brilliance and light around me as they truly are, even if they are yet unaware of their nature or they have temporarily forgotten it. I am determined to see myself as a miracle of the creative energy expressing in form, and I am determined to see that truth about everyone and everything I look at. I am determined to see that carries the recognition that I don't yet see it. And with a little persistent and consistent application of effort, I can. The possibility, the potential is there. It's mine to claim with my effort. So, that's Lesson 20, and today, Wednesday, as they are gathered at the mall and welcoming in a new president, we are here to have another show, field your questions, comments, Answers, Soliloquies, 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. And you will assist us in living into our intention to be of service. How can we be of service to you today? We had our group last night and we watched lesson 4 of Michael Singer's online course titled Living from a Place of Surrender. And I have gratitude for everyone who joins us for groups like that to sit with questions like those questions. And it's not easy. In many ways, many times, those lessons are a direct contradiction to what we have been taught to believe about ourselves and about the world. And it's a blessing for me that people choose to join us for that kind of discussion and that people are willing to question anew everything they've been taught, especially those things that leave them feeling bitter, angry, hurtful, resentful. And a lesson like today's lesson steps it up a notch and says, I am determined to see accurately, to see wholly and completely, to see the truth of what is, to learn to live more in the question. And as I do that, it raises more questions. And then I have to get even more comfortable living in the question. This is one of the more difficult things for the Western mind because we've been conditioned to try and use our conscious logical mind to create answers, to create the false sense that we know and we understand, and that this infinitely expressive, expansive, creative world can be boiled down into things that we can formulate words for, or that our 9-bit mind can comprehend or, you know, grok, formulate a simple explanation for. And the world is just far more expansive and miraculous and beyond what my 5 senses can perceive than I was ever led to believe, than I was ever conditioned to understand. And I'm going to make a commitment with today's lesson from the Course to be determined to see more of life, to see the truth of life, to see more of the truth of myself and my potential for extending the creative energy, my potential for seeing through the veils of the false beliefs and judgments. One of the messages from the Way of Mastery is that we're asking to be shown how to view our brothers and sisters, the world around us, the trees, the birds, ourselves, the way our Creator would see us, without all of the distortions of judgment. And that's what this lesson's about. My commitment to ask to be shown how to see. I'm determined to see, and I must not be seeing yet, and I haven't been trained how to see, and my senses can't see, so I'm going to ask to be shown how to see accurately the truth of all that is. And in doing so, I need to breathe. I need to give up. I need to move past the training and conditioning of my mind that says I have to hold on to whatever I already have. I have to be fearful of anything I don't know. In the Tao Made Easy by Alan Cohen, in the 10th chapter, about halfway through, he starts talking about moving on, change in relationship, moving on from a relationship, letting go of what we've already had so that we can welcome something new, something better, something more whole and complete. And if you're like most of us raised in this culture, that just the thought of doing that, giving up things, most of us have seen the bumper stickers about how you can have this when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Well, most of us don't realize how much we are doing that. We may not have a bumper sticker for it. It may not be a gun that we're holding on to and we want never to give up until after we're dead. But most of us have things that we cling to, whether they are ideas or ideals or possessions, physical possessions or relationships. And we are not aware of how much resistance we have to going with the flow of life, which is, you know, a phrase to describe the word the Tao. What is the Tao? The Tao is the flow of life. It's the flow of creation. It's God itself. It's creation extending in a flow. It's the cycle of the seasons. It's the breath moving in and out of my lungs. It's my heart constantly beating. It's all of these things and an infinite amount more. And whenever I decide that what I have right now or what I had yesterday is what I want to have forever, or I want to get back what I had yesterday because somebody took it from me, what I'm doing is living in regret. And that doesn't work very well. Regret is time doubly wasted. Another line from that book. Think about it. If something happens and I don't like it, in other words, I wish it hadn't been that way, and then I spend my mental energy wishing it wasn't the way it was, now I'm wasting more time. Regret is time doubly wasted. Great way to think about it. I can't tell you how many times I've had people in therapy and they gain an insight, they learn a new technique, they feel a transformation, and then they start in with, oh my gosh, I wish I knew this when I was 20, I wish I knew this 40 years ago. And some people don't leave it at that statement. Some people start pouring their mind energy into that thought pattern until they actually generate a negative experience, a negative emotional experience of regret or bitterness, anger, hurt. And they might be angry at the creator, they might be angry at their parents, they might be angry at the world around them, their siblings. And so they start creating a present moment experience that they don't like. And they say they're only doing it because they've had experiences they didn't like in the past. Please join me in seeing the insanity of that process. One author, I forget exactly where I heard it, it might have been Michael Singer, was talking about, imagine that you're driving around in your car and you smell a horrible, disgusting odor. And you stop the car and you jump out and say, oh my God, that's putrid, that's horrible. And then you get a glass jar out and you swipe it through the air and seal it to capture the odor. And then you take it home and you open the jar and smell it 4 or 5 times a day. Oh God, that's horrible. Well, that sounds crazy. We would no more do that than we would ask our friends to punch us in the face. And yet, with our mind energy, we're doing very much the same thing. We have a negative thought or an anxious thought, and then we repeat it. We give it validity. We argue for it. We argue against letting it go. we create rationalizations that say, well, if I don't worry, then my son's plane is going to crash. If I don't worry, then, you know, I won't have a safe trip. If I don't obsess about everything that could go wrong on the vacation, I may forget to pack something and the whole trip will be ruined. Regret is time doubly wasted. So something happens that I don't like, and then I choose to spend my mind energy on generating a negative emotional state that I sit in for minutes or hours or even days and weeks, all the while complaining that it happened the first time. Blind to the fact that as I complain about it and focus on it and obsess over it, I'm reliving it again and again and again. It's every bit as silly as the person who wants to capture the offensive smell of a rotting carcass or a skunk and bring it home and remind themselves of how bad it smelled every hour of every day. Or continually bring that smell home and open it in the house with all the other horrible smells until my house smells like a garbage heap. Well, most of us don't have to worry about collecting dead animals or the smells of dead animals and then filling our house with it. And yet most of us, in one way or another, are engaging in filling our minds with garbage, with stinky thoughts, with self torturing energies. So this is what we're offering tools to avoid or to undo. What's the tool? The tool is the reality management worksheet. The tool is the breath and canceling anything I think I want. The tool is EFT tapping and imagining my energy system being open and flowing rather than tight and tense and constricting. If you go to the website at WHYAGAIN and click on the red and white bullseye, you can click on the reality management worksheet, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over and over again. If you have any questions about that, how it would work, the dynamics of how it works, give us a call, 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, and we'll have a conversation. How can we support you? What's on your mind? What are your thoughts about the reality management worksheet? What are your thoughts about letting yourself experience the flow of life and catching any resistance, any judgment, any clinging to a good part, any resistance to a, quote, negative part? What are your thoughts about that? How many people do you know who live in that way of the Tao or the flow? I had a session yesterday where I was talking about that with somebody, and she said, you know, it's bizarre that you say that, because I had two uncles, and at one of their funerals, somebody was talking about, this is a person who just went along with whatever happened, never seemed to get bent out of shape, no matter what life events happened. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the possibility of understanding. One of the ways that some of these spiritual teachings talk about it is, life is happening for me, not to me. That the unfolding of life is not being driven by some demonic, hateful power being or some individual, humanized power being who's going to reward me when I'm good and punish me when I'm bad. Life is a flow. And the energy of creation has been extending and will continue to extend. That's what it does. My willingness to enjoy that experience, to cherish my ability to be awake, be alive, have consciousness, is the key to my being able to appreciate and enjoy the gift of life itself. Area code 484. Is this Ellen? Well, the wheel is spinning. Maybe you'll be unmuted in a moment. We'll try it again. Trying to open up your microphone. Area code 484. Are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Hello. I can.
Hello. Oh, thank you. I don't know what happened there. I wasn't muted. Anyway, I really love today's lesson, and in conjunction with doing these lessons, I'm also reading the text, and it just so happens that the section of text I read this morning had to do with seeing. And I wanted just to share a little bit of it because it talks about how the body's eyes were made to see separation, to see sin. And I think it's just very helpful. So if you wouldn't mind, I would just read a few sentences from the text.
Go right ahead.
Okay. It says, the body's eyes see only form. They cannot see beyond what they were made to see. And they were made to look on error and not see past it. Theirs is indeed a strange perception, for they can see only illusions, unable to look beyond the granite block of sin and stopping at the outside form of nothing. These eyes, made not to see, will never see, for the idea they represent left not its maker, and it is their maker that sees through them. What was its maker's goal but not to see? For this, the body's eyes are perfect means, but not for seeing. See how the body's eyes rest on externals and cannot go beyond. Watch how they stop at nothingness, unable to go beyond the form to meaning. Nothing so blinding as perception of form. For sight of form means understanding has been obscured. And I love that because the way I look at the word seeing is understanding. And how our understanding, I mean, when you think about how little the physical eyes can pick up, so we're seeing such an infinitesimal piece of the whole. How can we possibly understand anything? We can't. So, and I love, like, what I found myself doing with this particular lesson was even adding on a couple words to it, which, of course, you know, there's that part of me that says, oh, you can't do that. You can't change it in any way. But I found myself saying, I am determined to see the light. Because to me, that again, the seeing is the understanding. And the understanding is what will show us the truth. Like the story that you just repeated in Pam Grout's book. You know, until the man couldn't, you know, until he understood the story of what the shooter had been through in his life, he couldn't understand where, you know, that sort of action could have come from. So I just love, because we say, you know, oh, I saw the light, to mean, oh, I understood, I get it. And that's what we're really looking for here, to get it. Because once we get it, what can bother us? It's what bothers us is that we don't understand. We don't see the truth. We're constantly misperceiving. And the other reason that I love this lesson, it's the one that I think is the first one in this series so far that I can say is wholly true for me right now. I don't need to open my mind to this idea. I know that I am determined to see. And so it's such an easy lesson for me to remember and repeat throughout the day. And I find myself just wanting to repeat it over and over and over and over. Such a great lesson. So I just wanted to share that bit.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, it's a perfectly okay thing, in my opinion, to add a few words here and there, especially to qualify and to understand what our lessons from the first through the 20th are trying to get us to see, that vision is image creation in the human. It's not actual seeing. It's not actual vision. It's not just, you know, like we've talked about in the CIA website, where they talk about how your perception does not record reality. Your perception constructs reality. And I see things that don't exist in the outside world. I see things. I'm upset because I see things that aren't really there. I'm upset because my culture has trained me to believe that the images my eyes show me and my brain creates are the actuality of life outside of me. When the truth is, this process with the physical eyes and the brain is one of image creation, not true seeing. And as you were just talking about, when we recognize how little our senses pick up out of all the energies that are out there, our senses don't show us radio waves, X-rays, TV signal waves. Our senses don't show us that. Our senses don't show most of us auras. Our senses don't show us infrared light, ultraviolet light, real low frequency sound, real high frequency sound that dogs can hear in a dog whistle. Our senses don't show us even that. And then, of course, what we see, the images that our minds make up, our brains make up, is using just a tiny fraction of what our senses register. So,
and isn't all that being colored by all of our past experiences?
Exactly. Exactly. If you look at that video from Anil Seth on how we hallucinate our perception, they give some statistics about how the data that comes into our minds to create the picture that our mind shows us, the image that our brain comes up with, only about 20% of that information comes from the optic nerve. So 60 to 80% of whatever goes into the images my mind shows me come from my past experiences, my beliefs, my traumas, my prejudices.
Right.
Well, this is the kind of thing that most people that we have day-to-day conversations with have never been introduced to, much less spent any time practicing to see what other kinds of experience they could have aside from the very limited, direct, conscious, logical, step-by-step stuff that our senses show us and our conditioning would have us believe is true. You know, in lesson 11, it says, my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. It says, this is the reversal of the thinking of the world, and we're trying to reverse it. It seems as if the world, and the world tells us that the world determines what you perceive. But this lesson 11 idea introduces the concept that your thoughts determine the world you see, not the other way around. It's mind-boggling to understand that I'm not actually seeing the outside world. I'm seeing pictures my mind is giving me.
And I think it says somewhere in the course that everything that we perceive is upside down from the truth. So I like to take these little things that people say, like, you know, well, seeing is believing. You know, when I see it, I'll believe it. And I just turn that around and I say, believing is seeing. Whatever I believe is what I'm going to see. If that is
often,
the truth, not
often is the case.
Believing.
That's right. That's often far more accurate. Often far more accurate. So this idea that we're trying to introduce so that we can observe it for ourselves is that my vision, my eyes, the process that involves my eyes and my brain is something that's creating images. It's not doing accurate perception. It's not doing true perception. It's not looking through a window and just actually simply seeing what's there. It's an image creation process that involves my eyes and the brain. And if I say, like today's lesson, I am determined to see, you said, the light, right? I am determined to see truth. I am determined to see accurately.
I am determined to get it, to understand, to see beyond the form to what it really means.
Right. Lesson 15 says, my thoughts are images that I have made. It says, this is how your seeing was made. You think you see them, and so you think you see them, and so you see them. This is the function you have given your body's eyes. It is not seeing, it is image making. And the image making takes the place of seeing. It replaces vision with illusions. And once I wake up to the fact, and you know, how can I tell if I'm seeing accurately or not? Well, fortunately, there's this guidance system. It's the emotional energy field. If I feel tight, if I feel tense, if I feel angry, sad, scared, hurt, frustrated, any of those negative emotional states, I could choose to use that as the wake-up call that my vision has been obscured by the image creator process and I'm not seeing accurately. I'm seeing a hallucination. And then I can come back to lesson 20 and say, I am determined to see capital T truth. I am determined to see the light. I am determined to see wholly. I am determined to see accurately. And as I remind myself that that's my goal, that's my intention, that's my purpose, then every time I end up in a negative emotional state, I can step back and take a breath and cancel everything I'm doing with my conscious logical mind. Cancel all my goals, put away everything I think I want, my trifling treasures put away, and leave this clean and open space where a different level of holistic perception can come. And every time I do that, my life gets better. And that's why we're encouraged to practice those things. And today's lesson steps it up a little bit and says, try and do that every half an hour. I'm determined to see. And then, of course, anytime I have a negative emotional reaction, I can increase that practice. I can do it again. Take a breath and say, I'm determined to see the light. I'm determined to see accurately. I'm determined to see the truth of life.
Yeah, or I am determined to see this differently if it's something that's bothering you.
Yeah, or I'm determined to see, so I'm going to ask to be shown how to see it differently rather than get my conscious logical mind involved with trying to create a different image. I mean, if my conscious logical mind is involved in creating the image that's given me the anger or the fear or the hurt or the resentment, then maybe I can rely on another source. Maybe I can put away everything I think I want, everything I think with that conscious logical mind. Put myself in a receiving space. Some people like to call it trusting. Some people like to call it having faith. But whatever you call it, try something new. Don't just keep pouring your mind energy into the thoughts that created the unpleasant experience to begin with.
Right, and not just, you know, because I know, like, I can get caught up in the frustration of not being able to see the truth, but instead, you know, focus on that the truth that I have the ability. It's there. You know, I think it's sometimes it's hard for us to believe that we actually have the ability to truly see, that that's actually there. It's been given to us, and it will become apparent once we can, you know, recognize the nothingness that the form is revealing to us.
Yeah, there's always, Guy Finley likes to tell his, one of his lectures, he talks about how there's always a bigger picture. There's always more going on than your senses are able to help you feel, see, experience. And that's what Rilke was talking about when he talked about how we need to learn to live in the question without demanding an answer, because in that moment when a mind can ask a really good question, that very same mind that just asked that good question is not capable of understanding the answer. That mind is going to have to grow and stretch and have different experiences, because even if the perfect answer came to that question, the mind that just asked that really good question would hear that answer as though it were gibberish or a foreign language being spoken that it's completely unfamiliar with. So, if we can learn to live in that questioning state, to live with the observation that what we think we know is either only partially true or perhaps even completely false, because by definition we don't know everything, if we can learn to live in that observation, then we might, this is from Rilke, we might then live along someday into the answer, into an answer. And when that answer comes, if we've lived into it and we've grown through our life experiences and we're asking to be shown, we will have the ability to comprehend that answer at a whole new level.
Right.
But that's a whole different way of living than our Western culture has trained us to do. Our Western culture has trained us to either accept answers from the outside authorities or to go crunch along, grinding through it with our conscious logical mind until we make sense of it in a different way. And this is a whole new suggestion. This is about putting ourselves in an open, receptive space rather than in that I'm going to crunch my way through it. I'm going to make the world fit my belief system or my perception. So, is there more we can support you with today?
No, that was it. I just wanted to share what I had read this morning. and, yeah, that was it. So thank you for letting me do that. And I will speak to you again another time.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for your thoughtfulness and your sharing. We have about 10 minutes left or 9 minutes left. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1 and our technology works for us, I will turn on your microphone. But we're having a little glitch here and there. We were having some difficulty getting the microphone on for our last caller, and it's now really not really going off for our last caller. So 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. What is your mind telling you? What are your eyes showing you that might be less than accurate, that you might determine or hope is less than accurate? Because in its showing those images to you, it's also helping you generate a negative emotional state. You know, as Ellen was reading from the text, it reminded me how wordy and difficult the text is for most of us to read and understand. And if you are committed and you go back and you read and you add what you've understood from different parts of the text or the workbook lessons and work with it, you might get some good understanding. And yet, you might also just get more and more confused, which is why it's wonderful to have teachers like Dr. Michael Rice or Marianne Williamson or Pam Grout who offer ways. And there's another, From Anxiety to Love. This was a book that we did an interview with the author, Corinne Zupko, and that's another good book for understanding more of The Course in Miracles, From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Lasting Peace. And if you're interested, there's an interview that we did with her. It's available on MindShiftersAcademy.org website under the audio library page. Or you can get the book, and as you read through a book like that, here's a person who had real life severe struggles with anxiety, diagnoses and medications and all that stuff, and she used the lessons from A Course in Miracles to dramatically improve her quality of life, which meant working with it, which meant coming up with her own, you know, adding a few words here or there or changing a concept, changing a label for a concept so that it fit more with her vocabulary as a coach or a spiritual teacher or a guide or a counselor. And so she calls the Holy Spirit her inner therapist, and she advises based on the things that have worked for her in applying the lessons. And so, you know, I was having trouble, as Ellen was reading, keeping up with the meaning from the text. And I have that on a regular basis when I go to read the text of A Course in Miracles. I have to read and reread and parse out. Sometimes I go to somebody else who's got an interpretation of the lesson, because it'll use double negatives and it will talk in what Michael Rice would call poor regulatory speech. However, the more I work with it, the more I work to make it make sense from the way my mind was conditioned to letting go of that and opening up to something else, the more wonderful lessons, gems, tools I find. And so we encourage you to do that, and or get Corinne Zupko's book, or listen to the Corinne Zupko interview on MindShiftersAcademy.org website on the audio library page. And one of these days, when I'm not able to be here for the show, we'll replay that interview with Corinne Zupko, and we'll make that available to the audience. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. And we have about 4 minutes left before somebody hopefully comes on and either starts an audio for us or lets me know what audio they would like us to play. The last I heard, Michael and Jeannie were going to do a programmed, a pre-recorded program because they would be involved in watching or following things from the inauguration. So if you've got a topic you'd like us to explore, or you'd like them to explore in the next hour, or you've got a comment or a question for the last few minutes, give us a call, 563-999-3581. Let us know what you think about Pam Grout and her book. Let us know if you've had any exposure to Corinne Zupko's work. Let us know if you've ever had any difficulty trying to read from the text of A Course in Miracles. And or let us know what you'd like us to talk about tomorrow and Friday as we come back for 2 more days this week on Mindshifters Radio. We have about a minute left. So thank you, everyone, for being here today. Instead of, or maybe you were doing this and being glued to a television set, listening to or watching the inauguration, but we appreciate everyone who joins us whenever they do, whether you're live or in the archives, and we'll look forward to sharing more with you throughout the rest of the year. This being our 20th day of the year, and I'm saying this now to remind myself that on Friday we will read the Friday and Saturday and Sunday lessons and discuss them a little bit so people can keep up through the weekend, and then on Monday we will be ready to start the new week. So, Jeannie Rice is here. Welcome, Jeannie Rice. How are you today? Have you decided to do a...
Project's going on here. I think we're going to still
Jeannie,
do the
Jeannie,
replay.
I just turned on your microphone, and I heard Okay. Projects going on here.
So yeah, we've got
talking,
some new projects.
You weren't on.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Okay. No, I'm still going to do the replay. And it's actually of a Why Again workshop. So since yesterday, Michael read some out of the Why book and talking to Richard about the forgiveness work. So we're going to today play the Why workshop.
All right. Well, we'll just remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And have a great show, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Tim. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Wednesday, January the 20th, 2021. And we've got quite a few projects going on here, so we are going to do a replay of a Why Again workshop. So we won't be taking callers during this hour. We will be live again tomorrow. So welcome, everybody, and listen to the show. Hopefully it will start soon. My internet is running really slow for some reason. Well, I will chat until I can get it to play. So if you're not familiar with the work, you can go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. I'm trying to multitask here and sign back in. For some reason, Blog Talk just kicked me out. So hopefully you're still hearing me. And crazy. Technology. It's wonderful when it works right. Anyway, if you go to our website, whyagain.org, and then you click on the bullseye or the start here, both of those will take you to the same place. and that's where you'll find the worksheets. And the seven-step reality management sheet is the one that this workshop that I'm getting ready to play is the one that Michael covers in this workshop. So my internet is really doing some crazy stuff. But I'm not sure what is going on. Maybe I get to just keep talking. So my apologies, technical difficulties. Well, let me try to sign in again.